It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
It is a great win for Golden State. They're now secure at the number 6 spot by one game over the LA Clippers as they beat an undermanned San Antonio squad 148-106. But if you look at it from a Warrior viewpoint, just the level of play that they showed tonight is a very good sign. Even the win in New Orleans the other night, it was a win, but it wasn't a great game for Golden State tonight. They put together a really, really good contest and come away with the victory tonight.
Tim Warren on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors 117. Check that. I have the wrong one. Do I have the right one up right here? No, I don't. Check that. Strike that. Reverse it as I go Willy Wonka here. I don't know what just happened to my screen, Joe Shasky. I get in here and then the screen just breaks on me. And maybe that's just, you know, par for the course as I'm just getting destroyed in the KPIX Bracket Challenge. All my picks are out of whack. But I say good morning to you. Good morning to all you lovely listeners just getting off work, getting ready for it, getting ready for school. It was storming this morning. It woke me up, Joe Shasky. The wind, the rain, all of it. It was just so beautiful as I left you last Wednesday. It got ugly, it got grimy, but you know what? Down in New Orleans, you right the ship, and then yesterday in San Antonio, might have had your biggest complete performance I've seen from this Golden State Warriors squad all season long. They dropped 44 points in that first quarter, and absolutely just, outside of the Kuminga injury, and we'll get to it, I was very impressed with the level of leadership from that team. No nonsense. After that scare in New Orleans on Friday, where we all thought, are they really going to lose to a G League team without Zion, without Trey Murphy, without all these big-name players? You're going to do that in the Big Easy after you've already lost to the Atlanta Hawks. You've already lost to the Miami Heat. Well, it's supposed to be a revenge game, quite frankly. You lose that one, and 148-106, excuse me. You lose that, and then you're going to go to lose in the Big Easy, and then all of a sudden you're starting this road trip 0-3. They didn't do that. They won on Friday, win yesterday. You're 2-2, and now these next four games may in fact dictate not only the regular season and how the season's going to end, but the playoffs. Yeah, this is the playoff push now, Joe Shasky, and I'm feeling it on this Monday. It's the last day of March. April is approaching. Playoffs are approaching. March Madness is ending. And now it's time to start getting into that playoff mindset. This hasn't been a playoff mindset team now, mind you, in 2 years. They were a play-in team last year, Joe Shasky. They didn't make a playoff series. So yeah, they're clinging to a six seed right now, and it's very important just to get a series for the mentals, not only for you, Joe Shasky, the fan base, but the players to lock this thing in. You made the big trade. You're 18-4 now in the Jimmy Butler era when he plays. Can they sustain this? Because you're going to be playing big boys now. This isn't the Spurs. This isn't the Pelicans. It's the Grizzlies tomorrow. It's the Lakers Thursday. It's the Nuggets Friday. It's the Rockets on Sunday. I said all that to say good morning to you, Joe Shasky, and it's nut up or shut up time.
Well, let's break down the game that just happened. So, like, I thought it was their best first quarter in what felt like forever, even though their record's been absolutely outstanding. When shots are falling for this team, the ball movement works, and it looks great, and the ball hopping looks incredible. When shots aren't falling or guys are afraid because they've missed a bunch of shots, what do we end up getting? A lot of shot clock violations. End of the shot clock hoists, as
too
I call it.
Too unselfish. I want some more selfish.
Well, yesterday I thought the first couple plays of the game, you know, kind of set the tone for how it was going to play out. The first bucket was a Jimmy Butler come up and screen for Pods, slip. Pods throws it to Draymond. Draymond throws the dive pass to Jimmy Butler. Backdoor, bang, layup. Then Pods comes up, boom, hits a decisive three. And it kind of set the tone for him offensively. When he's hitting threes, he looks like a completely different player with the crazy red nose and the sunburned face that the guy's got going on right now. I don't know if you guys saw
Rudolph.
Did you see the thing on Instagram and all over the social media? There's a meme going around.
Very specific. Did you see that thing on Instagram that's a meme?
It's Pods on one side. It's Pods on one side. And it's the Wet Bandits from Home Alone.
He does look like Marv, doesn't he?
Marv's face is completely burned out at the end, and I swear to God, it's hilarious.
That's pretty good.
And the poor guy was talking with Bonte and Mully and Festus after the game, and he was saying, yeah, you know, I put whatever lotion all over my face, and I kept reapplying, and I still got cooked. So, I mean, he looked gross. But I thought Moody was outstanding in this one. And for him to hit a couple of shots from the outside, I think quietly, one of the things that's kind of subdued their offense is Moody not hitting shots. And when he's hitting buckets and Buddy Hield's hitting buckets and the big three are just, you know, stable, I mean, their offense looks outstanding.
That was, again, the most complete first quarter, complete third quarter, just complete performance I've seen from this team. All players in double figures, all starters in double figures, I should say. 14 points for Draymond, 13 for Jimmy. We'll get to Jimmy Butler. There's a conversation we have there, but efficient nonetheless there. Steph, the guy that barely even scored in the first quarter, if that, just a bucket or two, didn't matter. They were just blowing this team out, and that's what you need to do against the Spurs squad. Back end of a back-to-back. No when, and when I heard that, by the way, on the first thing I heard on the broadcast, because I'm not paying attention to Spurs basketball, I'm not paying attention to what they're doing. I'm just focused on the Golden State Warriors right now and any other primetime game that's maybe on, and I'll catch that. But when I heard on the opening broadcast, well, the Spurs are coming off the back end of a back-to-back, I was like, oh, well, they don't have Wemby or De'Aaron Fox. They're cooked. You're relying on old man Chris Paul in your starting lineup? Like, come on. That's what you should do to a team like that yesterday, wearing those interesting jerseys that I kind of liked, by the way. The little light baby blue. It was kind of like a throwback to the 70s styles. I enjoyed those uniforms. I enjoyed the court. I thought it was cool. It had a 70s vibe to it. I'm not mad at it. And it's a lot better to enjoy an opposing team's jerseys when you're winning than when you're losing. And the Warriors came out. And by the way, I think that was the first time yesterday. And I saw the stat across, it was the first time since like the 70s that three NBA teams won and all of them dropped 140 points or more. I think it was the Warriors, the Hawks, and I'm missing the third team, but it just goes to show yesterday that it was an offensive firepower. And a lot happened yesterday. We'll get to it. Jonathan Kuminga re-injuring the same ankle he hurt and was out for the last few months prior to a couple weeks ago, so he injures that ankle again. They're calling it ankle soreness, and just judging from how Steve Kerr was sounding after the game, we'll hear from Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, doesn't sound like it's going to be just a game or two thing. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he gets some rest, and there's not a lot of swelling. We shall see. But when I first saw him fall down, I thought it was a tailbone, the way he fell. I didn't think it was the ankle. Then you see the replay, it's like, ah. So something that kept him out, an ankle sprain that kept him out for months, Joe Shasky, in 30-plus games, was it? Like, are we looking at a no Jonathan Kuminga heading into the playoffs? And we've heard from all the media, all the Anthony Slaters of the world who cover the team, all the different, you know, pundits that said, man, you're going to need this guy in a series against maybe a Lakers or a Thunder or a Grizzlies. Like, you might not have that guy, Joe Shasky. And I guess we'll get to it at some point today because there's a lot I want to get to. By the way, the Giants with a series victory over the weekend, they're a very fun team right now. The San Francisco Giants are a fun team, folks. Get on the bandwagon now if you haven't. But I don't know how big of a blow this is for this team without Jonathan Kuminga, because we really didn't even see all that much with him when he was here with Jimmy Butler. So it's very hard for me to sit here and say, oh man, what a brutal blow. Is it? I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm like being insensitive. It sucks that he's out, because I want to see what he can be with this team. But I just don't know how big of a blow it is, because when he's out there, it didn't look all that great to begin with. Right? Like,
well, I thought Friday night he was really good.
Sure.
You know,
he had some moments. Like, he's had some moments, but would you call this whole thing since the JK return, like, great?
No, it's been clunky.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I would also say that I think the top dogs have not played well coinciding with his return, whether he's on the floor or not.
Sure.
You know, like, Jimmy Butler has been kind of flying under the radar here. You know, you got Jimmy Butler for big-time games, and it feels like Jimmy Butler has yet to put his kind of stamp of approval on a lot of games where they could have really used him. I thought Friday night, Kuminga, Jimmy Butler did a great job rebounding. Just paying attention to the rebounding, because that team came out on Friday night in New Orleans, and they were just taking it to the Warriors. I was pulling my hair out. And then, obviously, right, when Poe started playing well, Steph had moments, and they stabilized things, and they win going away. Yesterday, you know, Kuminga was fine, and then he went down, and to your point, I thought he hurt his butt.
Yeah,
like,
no,
just like Steph.
I thought it was a Steph pelvic contusion was what they called it. Yeah,
it looked bad, and the way he landed, bang, right on his butt. I'm seeing people going, "Oh, he should have passed the ball."
Oh God,
come on, this is an unfortunate play. The poor guy can't catch a break right now. And yeah, is there a
blaming the guy for getting hurt now? Is that what fans do? God, just,
well, people are, you know, they're entrenched in their beliefs.
He should have passed the ball. How dare he fall and get hurt?
They're entrenched in their beliefs, and that's fine.
But what are we doing?
I did see the guy make a concerted effort Friday night to just box out. Because I think one of the areas that very athletic players, whether they're playing in grammar school, high school, college, pros, whatever, when you're relying on your athleticism, you're accustomed to being able to just out-jump people. And I think Jonathan Kuminga really sucks at boxing out. If we're just getting into the weeds, right? Draymond is excellent at boxing out.
I can't tell you the last time Kuminga had double-digit rebounds. He just doesn't do it. For a guy that's that big, 6'7", 225 pounds, like, it's kind of shocking. Like, yeah. I Brandon Pajemski, like, does that every other game, it feels like. And I get it, different positions.
Well, but Pots is a great example. But, yeah, like, is Draymond a double-digit rebounder?
I don't think so, no. But he does a lot of other things that,
but
you know,
that's where I'm going with this. It's like Draymond will box two guys out, and someone else will come and get that rebound.
Yes.
Like a Pajemski, like a Looney.
Yes.
You know, I call it the cleanup rebounds,
yes,
right? But not all rebounds are created equal. And so I think one area that is a huge area of growth for Jonathan is boxing out. And it sounds so simplistic, but it's real. And I thought he did a much, much better job boxing out on Friday night. And I wanted to see what he would look like over this little 8-game stretch that they have, which is the most important 8-game stretch of the last, what, 3 years, it feels like?
I mean, it's the 8-game you can go, absolutely. But I'm looking at these next 4 games, Joe Shasky, all against teams that are ahead of you in the Western Conference right now. And as we look at the Western Conference, that's why I opened up the show saying it's nut up or shut up time. Because this is the final stretch. It's the final countdown. It's Europe. Can we have that as the rejoin next time, please? All-time banger. So we got Thunder. They've locked up that number one seed. They've been the number one seed for quite some time. They've won 9 in a row, by the way. They're just ridiculous. Shea's probably going to win the MVP.
And sure.
We'll get in. That's a conversation we could have when it happens.
I mean, they're 10 games over everyone else in the conference.
It's been an amazing season.
I think you need to reward him.
Okay. Not Jokic, who's had a better individual season.
He's been great. But, like, at some level, you have to, you know, also reward the team, you know, excelling above and beyond. Because if he was my player and he was on clearly the best team in the Western Conference, I think that I would want him to be rewarded.
It's always an interesting conversation, because I feel like if you take Shea off the Thunder, they're still going to be a top 5 seed in the Western Conference. If you took Jokic off the Nuggets, I think they'd be struggle to make the play.
They beat the Warriors without Jokic.
They did. No, they did.
I mean,
but then they also, after that game, Joe Shasky got humbled with, like, without Jokic against the Chicago Bulls. So I hear you on that, but real quick, going
but
back
using
to
using that algorithm, LeBron James 20 years in a row or something.
Exactly.
You know, and it's
a narrative. It's a narrative of base. Like Ramona Shelburne said that years ago. Yeah, I vote via the narrative. So there's a lot baked into that. I hear you.
At times there's like, hey, most valuable. And then at times I also believe
most outstanding, like,
or best player on the best team.
Right.
You know, there's a few ways that I kind of delineate it, and I don't think there's any one way to have for MVP. That being said,
like they have that for the college, right? It's most outstanding player of the tournament. Yeah. It's going to be Cooper Flagg, probably, if they keep
He's
going. Like,
pretty special.
By the way, all chalk, if you guys had that in your brackets, first time since 2008, all number one seeds in the Final Four. So can't wait for that. We got Duke going up. Check that. We got Duke going up against Houston, Kelvin Sampson's crew.
Love the Houston jerseys.
They're so clean.
Simplistic.
Yep.
Just a little cursive. I mean, it looks very elegant, just really gorgeous uniforms.
And then Auburn and Florida, we got an SEC matchup there. This guy's insane.
Well, and against Todd Golden. Yeah. You know, a lot of people from San Francisco were out there rooting on Todd Golden. My buddy Brent is huge friends with him, and with him and his wife, because their kids were in the same class together. And there was a huge contingent of Florida fans that were rooting him on, and good for Todd, dude.
I'm calling it now. It's probably going to be Duke in Florida. I think those have been the best two teams all season long. I think those are going to be the best two teams that I've seen in the tournament thus far. Houston's very good. Auburn are very good. I just think Duke and Florida are better. I think Cooper Flagg. I mean, you were on this. I was on this. Just that guy. The best player on the best team.
Well, they've got other guys. Proctor or whatever is really good.
But Cooper,
seven-footer.
Cooper Flagg's the best American prospect since Zion Williamson, a guy who also played for Duke. And we've all been touting this guy since the NBA select team. When we saw, I was like, what, a 17-year-old is banging up against the LeBron Jameses of the world?
Handle, size, shooting, court vision.
And he came into this injured.
And way tougher than you think.
Very
in the paint.
Tough.
Can finish with both hands. I'm a huge fan.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube, because I'm a huge fan of Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, which we are streaming on, Joe Shasky, all day long and all week long right here, 95.7 The Game, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we're coming at you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. If you want to catch any of those games, go to Laughing Monk and watch all of them. I'm sure there's a lot of Duke fans around here, a lot of Florida, a lot of Auburn, a lot of Houston. Like, a lot of big brands there, and that is something I'm excited about. I do love, like, one or two teams that are like Cinderellas, but there is something about the best playing the best, and that's what we're going to be seeing this Saturday, April 5th, on CBS. So I cannot wait for that. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Going back to the Western Conference, though, you got the Thunder as the one seed. You got the Rockets as the two seed. Nuggets, Lakers, Grizzlies, who lost to the Lakers over the weekend. And then the Warriors, one game ahead of the Clippers in the eighth spot and a half game lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, by the way, that you see that kind of brawl, not really brawl, with the Pistons, all those people getting ejected. I saw Pablo Prigioni. I didn't think he was still in the league, but apparently he's a coach now with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He got ejected. Jamie Bickerstaff got ejected.
Isaiah Stewart. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Why do we see Isaiah Stewart's name when it's never basketball related? It's all the extracurriculars with Isaiah Stewart.
He's a throwback goon.
Yes. And he was going at Steph. Remember, he gave him a little shove.
He played
a couple weeks ago when Detroit was in town. That was a very playoff gritty performance and a win for the Warriors just a few weeks ago at Chase Center. Western Conference is tight.
It is tight. I think the big thing for the Golden State Warriors and for me in the first quarter, hitting shots. It's the most, like, oh, it's a make or miss league. And
confidence.
No. This team, if you're going to run the motion offense and you're going to be predicated on ball movement and guys cutting and whatever, no one is going to honor you from beyond the arc if you're not hitting shots. When Buddy's hitting shots, when Pods is hitting shots, and Moody's hitting shots, they're a completely different team. And then you see Moody moving without the ball. He had a vicious dunk the other night. But you see him moving without the ball, behind the rim, you know, cutting baseline over and over and over again. You see clearly that Pods, the floor opens up for him when he's hitting shots. When Quentin Post is hitting shots, the floor opens up for others. When Buddy Hield is hitting shots, they just look like a completely different team. And then they can get all the backdoor cuts that you were so accustomed to for a decade that have dried up when you're not shooting. And so it was really good, and I think one of the biggest developments is that the others around Steph Curry, around Draymond Green, and even Dre hit a three, around Jimmy Butler, were all hitting shots. You just need a couple of those guys to be proficient from beyond the arc, and the whole entire offense opens up and flows. So we could talk about Kuminga's injury, and I know it's a big one, and I have a lot of Kuminga questions. I have Jimmy Butler questions. But if the other guys are all hitting threes, the whole floor opens up for them, and then the offense that they definitely want to run just looks beautiful. The ball movement was beautiful yesterday, and I thought it was infectious and carry over to the defensive end.
I mean, that's ultimately going to be the question for this team, and whether they could win a series, win two, or get all the way to the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals is the others. I know what I'm going to be getting from Stephen Curry. From push comes to shove, I know I'm going to be getting 25, 30-plus points. Like that's baked into what I feel like I'm going to be getting from Stephen Curry. Jimmy Butler, I think I know what I'm going to be getting come playoff Jimmy time. Now that kind of scares me, like we keep waiting.
Well, guess what? Right now is playoff time.
No, this is the playoff.
I mean, Jimmy needs to wake up.
These next four games, I'm looking at Jimmy big time to step up, because he was supposed to step up against the Atlanta Hawks. Didn't step up there. He was supposed to step up against the Miami Heat. Didn't step up there. The New Orleans Pelicans, okay, that's fine. And then yesterday,
he had the Big Ten rebounds. I thought he was really good situationally.
No, he was. And then yesterday, he didn't need his scoring acumen. He was 4 or 5. He had 13
yesterday,
points, 8 assists.
Yeah.
Everyone was on fire yesterday. Yeah. It didn't matter. When I watched that first quarter, I was like, oh, great. I can watch some White Lotus, the second to last episode of the season. By the way, a lot baked into that. And thank you, Golden State Warriors, for wrapping that thing up by the third quarter when they had like a 40-point lead. So that was nice. But these next four games are going to dictate a lot. And the others, I'm very curious, as you say, and it's not to mean like any disrespect, it's the others, it's the non-superstars, the Moses Moody's, the Brandon Pajemski's, no Jonathan Kuminga, obviously. We'll see how serious that injury as the day goes on. If there's going to be any reports there, we'll give you that information. But I'm very curious to see how they're going to perform, starting tomorrow in Memphis against the Grizzlies, and then in La La Land against the Lakers, a team you might be facing in the first round, Joe Shasky. By the way, do you believe the new segment that is sweeping the nation? 7:30. So do you believe we're going to be asking the fans, do you believe this team could go on a title run? We ask it after every single game, and we had a game yesterday. So there you go. The guests, by the way, Joe Shasky, are the people. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So the Roasters, call or text 888-957-9570. Again, same number to call or text 888-957-9570. Warriors blow out the Spurs yesterday, 148-106. Jonathan Kuminga gets hurt, same ankle. He was out for a few months. How serious or how big of a blow is that for this team? We'll discuss that. Plus, the Giants got a series dub over the weekend over the Cincinnati Reds. Want to get Joe Shasky's thoughts on all of that. And it's going to be brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport. 27 points is too shy of his career high overall. And tonight marked, last night marked his fifth 20-point outing of the season and ninth of his career. So that was great to see from Pods. Him and Moody combined for 47 points yesterday, Shasky. That was huge. I'm not going to expect that every single night. Again, it was just a recipe for success heading into it. Like, everything baked into it. No Wemby for the Spurs.
Yeah.
No De'Aaron Fox. They're on the back end of a back-to-back. Yeah, they're at home. But the Warriors, you know, they had a sloppy game against the Pelicans. I think this was a get-right game in all the right ways for the Warriors yesterday. And they did it. There's something to be said about it, like, looking like a get-right game and then actually acting upon it. And it was very refreshing to see them do that from start to finish yesterday. They didn't let up at all.
No.
44 points, again, a season high in points scored in the first quarter, and it ties a season high for points scored in a quarter at all, in any quarter, for the Golden State Warriors. And everyone was hitting, whether it was Post, Pajemski, Moody, Steph, barely even shot in the first quarter. He didn't even need 4-10 overall. He barely even needed to shoot. And that's a great thing. When I don't need to see a lot of Steph Curry and this offense is humming, that tells me things are rolling.
Yeah.
And that's what it was yesterday.
Pods, like, obviously we know that he's going to be a high energy guy. So the deflections, the taking charges, and, you know, the rebounding, those things are all going to be there no matter what. Like, his energy level doesn't seem to slump. But when he hits a couple shots, it really does change things. If you're going to start in this lineup and you're not going to hit any buckets, they're going to sag off you. You cannot be determined by the defense to be a non-shooter. And so if you're going to play with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green in heavy overlapping minutes, you cannot be the third non-shooter on the floor. You have to be a threat. And I don't think having 20-plus is a sustainable thing for him. 10 to 12. Like 10 to 12 is like the sweet spot. Hit a three, be able to knock down a midi if they give it to you. Take that shot willingly. It's a big thing for him. Then I throw in Moody. If Moody's going to play, which the shot was falling for a couple of weeks, he looked great. I thought it was the best basketball he's played in his career. This is his best season in the NBA. I want to make that very clear.
Most consistent minutes.
Absolutely. But he did hit a little slump from the outside. And he was working hard. But if you're going to be the guy that's the left open man, you have to rhythmically hit these shots. And I think that not being a part of his game the last seven or so games has been a subtle reason why the offense has looked so congested and so constipated. And him hitting buckets and Potts hitting buckets, bang, bang, wow. And it's like the floodgates opened up. And then you factor in, Quinton Post in the game before hitting shots. It's a big thing for this team. Buddy, we know. You live on the razor's edge with Buddy. He's either going to be awesome or he's going to be awful.
3 of 6 from three-point land yesterday.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? He was awesome. And so when you have all those guys hitting, you score 150.
It was plus 30, Buddy Hield off the bench, 25 minutes for him, 8 of 12 overall for 19 points, Buddy buckets for assists as well. And he's been getting it done on the defensive end as well as the offensive glass, driving to the hoop. And I saw a lot of that early on, just driving to the hoop, getting like Draymond Green having a reverse layup, Moses Moody, tough finishes from everyone. And I was like, man, everything's falling for this team right now. They are not going to lose. And it was nice to watch that. And also over the weekend, Joe Shasky, it was also nice to watch some orange and black, looking good, also not shooting themselves in the foot, and looking, dare I say, like a competent team, both offensively and defensively. Zero errors for the San Francisco Giants over the weekend as they take the series in Cincinnati, or as Guru calls it, the Natty. I don't know if anyone actually calls it. Is that like the national championship we call the Natty? I don't think anyone calls it the Natty. But Guru, I love you. He calls it that. He can get away with it. So you're 2-1 on the season.
I love you so much.
It's early. Remember, what was it? Larry Bear joined you guys, the CEO of the Giants, saying, don't be a stranger this season when it comes to the San Francisco Giants. Don't be a stranger when it comes to watching the games. And I wasn't. And I enjoyed watching them over the weekend. Like, this team, I used to watch them and say, like, oh boy, here's a little bit of adversity. It felt like a chore.
It's a chore.
And that's how it felt like watching the Warriors for the last couple of years prior to the Jimmy Butler acquisition. It felt like a chore to watch them. And for sure the Giants, it felt like I was pulling my hair out. If they got to a runner on third base in scoring position less than two outs, it's like, oh, that guy's not going home. Huh. I think they might as well just try to steal home at this point. It's not going to happen. But I saw that a couple times this weekend. Wow. Situational baseball. Again, I go back, zero errors in a three-game stretch. I don't know the last time they've done that. It's got to be quite some time. And just the vibes overall, it was great to see. I'm not overreacting. It was fun. It was a great series win. They're taking on the Houston Astros tonight in Houston, so we'll get all into that. But very nice to watch over the weekend, Joe. I know you and Mark Randy, I was listening, guys did a hell of a job opening day. You guys had Fleming on. You had Dave Dravecki. It was great. It was great.
It really was. A couple quick things. You're talking about the defense. I mean, I think Sam Lubman went down the rabbit hole and was looking at different three-game stretches.
Sam Lubman went down the rabbit hole?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
He said it was really hard to find box scores where three consecutive days would pass and they didn't have an error. This team led baseball in errors the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So being better defensively, this sounds like such a very simple thing, like catch the ball, right? Literally catch the ball, play catch. They're much better at that. And then having the element of speed. And we'll get to their pitching because they have a lot of pitching. And I loved what I saw from Camilo Duvall. You want to talk about a guy who's as scrutinized as Jonathan Kuminga? The only one who's as close to scrutinized on the Giants as JK is, in terms of a young player who shows promise, is Camilo Duvall.
Mm.
He was my bounce back guy before the season started. I thought the ninth inning yesterday was excellent. I'm so glad they went to him. Blew away Ellie De La Cruz. Bang, bang. Two first strikes right away. Bang, bang. Let's do it. And then he just plays around with them the rest of the at-bat and gets through. Elliot Ramos made a hell of a catch out in right field. He had a great weekend, Elliot Ramos. Boy, it looks like he's real. But the speed component, okay, the speed component. Fitzgerald reaches on a throwing error after, Cincinnati comes battling back, and Robbie Ray just completely short circuits on the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Just gets into his dome. He short circuits completely.
Pitchers, man, there's something about it. It's just, some people, they can go through it, but certain pitchers, slight bit of adversity, they fall off.
Camilo Duvall's whole season, started off a couple years ago awful because of the pitch clock. He couldn't get out of Yankee Stadium.
Reds fans were counting down the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Take a listen. We have it.
They did this to Camillo on the night, too. I thought it was brilliant.
They're counting down the pitch clock to Rad and walks him off
ball. I loved it.
The violation could well be living in his head. And here comes Bob Melvin. There goes Robbie Ray.
Wow.
It was definitely in his head.
Sound courtesy of Bally Sports Cincinnati.
He had a perfect game going up until, like, whatever, the fifth inning. Even that's a little too early to call anything a perfect game, just for my liking. But both guys were sharp. They played great baseball this weekend. And I thought that Bob Melvin was on it. So Tyler Fitzgerald reaches on a throwing error because of the speed. The speed forces the tough throw from Ellie De La Cruz. Then what'd they do? In years past, they would have never done this because analytics tells you you don't bunt. They bunt and have Lamont Wade, who had a horrible weekend. And I have a thought on the Giants regarding a big move that they can make. Just bookmark that.
I'll bookmark it.
They bunt him over to second. Then he sees something clearly, okay, from the pitcher, and he takes third base. Now gets overturned. They challenge the play. Overturned. He steals third base. When was the last time a Giant stole third base? Can't remember. Todd Fitzgerald's going to steal 40 bags this year, all right? Then Willy Adames, big baseball play, one out, runner at third. In years past, the Giants pop up or strike out. He hits a fly ball. It's a simple thing. It's a sack fly. Now, he didn't have a great weekend offensively. That's a big league at bat. When I tell the youngsters who are trying to play on high school baseball, I go, that's a high school at bat. You want to drive in that run from third. Okay, boom, we get a couple runs back. Now they're up 5-3. Jung-Hoo Lee, soft little grounder to Matt McClain at second base.
He
beats it out.
I'm liking Jung-Hoo Lee.
He beats it out. All right? Chapman takes a walk. And here comes Elliot Ramos, who I thought was the player of the weekend. Had great catch out in the outfield. Obviously, the two home runs. Bang, he knocks him in. 6-3. Game's put away. Simple things like speed. We talk about this all the time. You know, do you believe in baseball principles? Old school stuff. Speed and playing catch. That's what helped them win this weekend. Dare I say... The Giants are a first baseman away from being a factor. No, I'm dead.
Oh,
real.
My God.
Yeah, I know you are.
I don't mean like they're going to win the World Series. No, that's not. I'm talking about being a legitimate wild card playoff contender. I think that they go out and they need to go get a bat. Get a right-handed power bat who can be your first baseman or your DH to pair alongside a young ascending player when he eventually comes up. They are a power bat away at the DH or first base spot from being taken serious. Adames, Chapman, Fitzgerald looks the part. I love it. Jung-Hoo Lee, like, obviously he's got a long way to go. Ramos is legit. They've got some solid pitching. They got a ton of young pitching in the minors. Make a big deal. Go get me a bat. I'm encouraged with the Giants.
I'm encouraged. I need to see more. And that's okay. And that's what's coming up in the game. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Thoughts on that? Thoughts on the Golden State Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga, though, Joe Shasky. Just as he was getting back into the swing of things, he gets hurt again. I want to discuss how big of a blow this is for the team, or even if it is that much of a blow going forward here, which sounds a little bit cruel, but I'm going to explain on the other side. 8 games to go. This 4-game stretch against Western Conference contenders is going to tell us a lot about this team. Is Jonathan Kuminga going to be there for any of them? We shall see. It's the Morning Roast. Come on back. 95.7 The Game.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Two on their six-game road trip. Big game tomorrow against the Memphis Grizzlies. But a big weekend for the San Francisco Giants as well. So we have not one, but two Bay Area squads winning a couple games over the weekend. And we will shout them out when they do that. It was just very refreshing to watch a Giants game that was clean. It was exciting. And they won. Like, it's one thing to have a clean game and, you know, you get some runs and some exciting, but you lose. Like, I felt like I watched that a lot with the Giants. Mm-hmm. Like, they would go on some runs. It was like, okay, you're showing me something here. The pop's back a little bit. They did that at times last year. Remember when Fitzgerald was on fire? It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
They're showing me something. But then they'd always revert back to the mean. Like, that's still what I'm waiting for this team. Like, a couple games here and there, it's nice. Turning into a couple weeks, Joe Shasky, that's a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll start paying attention more and more to see the realistic likelihood that this is a team that I could, you know, be excited about a couple months from now. And again, if they do it for a couple of months, mm-hmm. that is what a team becomes. Like, that is something that I could gravitate towards and say, you know what, I'm all in on this team. I think that's what Giants fans have been missing. These last couple seasons, after that, obviously 2021 was amazing. It was fun. We all loved it. But we also knew there was kind of an expiration date on that. Like, there was also, it was a little bit, not to say fully fugazi, but a little fugazi. And we saw it come to a culmination in a five game series loss to Los Angeles Dodgers. And that was a gut punch. You have that famous picture of you standing in the stands, right? That was the high watermark of the Farhan Zaidi era, was losing in five games to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Cody Bellinger having that seeing eye single up the middle, that weak contact off Camilo Duvall, who, by the way, looked good yesterday in a save. And his looks like his swagger is back. I don't know if we're going to have the light show anymore with him going forward back at Oracle Park. But it was nice to see his confidence, Matt Chapman's confidence, Elliot Ramos, Jung-Hoo Lee, a guy that I've been saying, can he set the tone going forward for this team?
It was a good weekend for him.
It was a great weekend for him. Willy Adames, not the greatest offense, but you know what? The defensively, they've been in sync. And again, where they didn't make mistakes was on the base paths. And I saw that in Cincinnati. It highlighted them making some mistakes, and Matt Chapman capitalizing on it with a huge double play.
Did you have that double play up on the board?
I have it. I can play it right now.
Let me set the scene before you go to it. It's basically second and third with one out, all right? And Espinal is up at the plate. You've got Blake Dunn at second base. Now,
Santiago Espinal.
I don't care what age you're in. If you're at second base, all right, and it's less than two outs, even with two outs, and the ball's hit to your right, so you're at second base taking the lead, ball's hit to your right, to the shortstop or to the third baseman, it's wait and see.
Yeah.
You're literally wait to see. You don't want to run into an out there, right, in that situation. And there's a runner at third, and on that little chopper as Chapman's coming in, If the guy gets a good jump and he thinks he can get home on that play, fine. You're probably scoring a run, though. You want to make the third baseman or the shortstop, any ball hit on the infield with a runner at third, you want to make them make that full throw over to first base. Because anything could happen. He's got to field it cleanly. He's got to throw it down the line. First baseman's got to catch it. At minimum, you want to make them make a play. And then if you get a good jump on it or you're reading it off the bat or maybe you're going to go on the throw, the guy at third, you're probably scoring a run on that play. But for the guy at second base, where are you going? And here's the play, Matt Chapman. I thought it just signified where the Giants are at IQ-wise right now.
And they get the out at first, and they get the out at third, and that's a double play. Oh,
man. Dwayne Kuiper on the call, and a little chuckle from Mike Grucco again, NBC Sports Bay Area. And Matt Chapman, real quick, Joe Shasky, he's talking about the vibes right now. You're feeling the vibes? I know Sam's feeling the vibes. So is Carter. I don't know. Where's the Giants at, Carter? You need to bring that in. The vibes are high right now.
I'm telling you, this is a shift change culturally for them.
Dropped that game yesterday, but came back today and was able to find a way to win the series. But the vibes are high. You know, Willie and JV and the guys that we brought in are just, it's like they've been here for, you know, years. And then having, you know, Bomell and all the coaches returning again, we got a lot of similar people and we're all on the same page and we're just having fun. And, you know, we expect to win every day.
I think that's important. But again, like, there's continuity, but then there's continuity for continuity's sake. And I feel like that's what we're Giants fans were at for a long time under the Farhan Zaidi era. Whether it was Farhan, Gabe Kapler, there was continuity, but that doesn't always make it a good thing. But picking up from what he's saying, from last year to this year, I'll say this with Bob Melvin, guy's a consummate professional. He exudes professionalism, and he has done it at a high level. Now, has he gotten this playoff success that he's wanted in his career? Probably not. But you know what he can do? He can get you to the playoffs. That's what I've seen, whether it was in Oakland or in San Diego. He's done it in a multitude of ways, with a lot of star power, with some rising young players. And I think there's a mix here with San Francisco. There's a lot of star power. And sure, a little older with a Justin Verlander, right? Robbie Ray's won a Cy Young before, so it's not like these guys are not household names. Matt Chapman, he's been an all-star. He's been a platinum gold winner, gold gloves winner. Platinum gold glove. Willie Adames, he's got a lot of swagger. He's been an all-star. And you know, you got some of these young, unproven guys like a Jung-Hoo Lee coming over from Korea, right? We've seen what Yaz can do. Fitzgerald had some moments last year. Patrick Bailey, he's been good at times. Can he stay in shape this season? So very nice to see and hear from, quite frankly, the leader of this team, Matt Chapman. He is the leader. Don't get it twisted. He is the leader of this team. He's the everyday player. It's very nice to hear him and the manager in idiosyncrasy, if you will, and being on the same page and setting the tone, quite frankly, for this season. Now, could it end? You know, could they get roughed up in Houston? Sure. But for now, for the here and now, just reacting to what I saw over the weekend, like, there's nothing that you could be mad about over this weekend with the San Francisco Giants.
No, it's all the little things. And whether it's base running, speed, putting pressure on the base pass, I think Bob Melvin deserves a lot of credit. And,
yes.
And let me just real quick. Yesterday's a great example. I believe in batteries. If you've ever pitched on any level, there are some guys who just get you behind the dish for whatever reason. They understand your repertoire, you know, how to attack someone. Your confidence level throwing to them behind the plate is just better.
Batteries.
Some people don't understand it. But, like, for example, Tim Wakefield always had his personal catcher with the Boston Red Sox, okay?
John Lester, David Ross.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. Right? Some guys just throw better. For a long time, the quiet little thing that no one would say out loud, when's it come like throwing to Eli Whiteside better than Buster, right?
Yeah.
Even though Buster's clearly the better player. But late in the game, this is subtle. Huff is the catcher yesterday. He lets Huff be the catcher. Late in the game, ninth inning, Doval comes in. It's clearly a big moment for Doval psychologically.
Yeah.
He had a bad year last year. Who does he bring in just to catch that final inning? He brings in
Patrick Bailey.
Little subtle move that everyone is going to gloss over, but I thought it was just a brilliant, brilliant decision by the manager. And look, there's going to be games like Saturday where Verlander pitches really well. You go to a bullpen arm and, you know, you look back and you're like, man, I wish we would have cashed in some runs. Bivens gives one up. Not the end of the world. It was a tight, contested ball game. You look up, you left some runners on base, didn't generate enough offense. that happens. But I thought the manager was pulling all the right strings all weekend, and it's the little things, the defense on the infield. The Chapman play we described, he's aware of the situation, second and third. Oh, you're going to run into an out? Let me tag the runner, and let me throw on the run. His throwing on the run, I've never seen a third baseman throw on the run the way he does.
Well, he's just so strong.
He's so good.
He's so strong. He's so athletic. So he's so agile, and he's got speed. And again, like we were talking about the last year.
I underrated his speed. That's a good point.
Being on the base paths offensively, like he could get you some stolen bases. He started to dabble a little bit last year. I want to see more from that from Chapman. Obviously, there's wear and tear involved in there. He's playing at 100% every single time. Like, what I like about him is the intensity, and I see it on his face. Whenever they pan to him and he's waiting, like, this guy is no nonsense. And I think this team, which has had a lot of nonsense the last couple seasons, Jock Peterson, the Pasoy problem in the clubhouse, like, that is a breath of fresh air. And I like what Buster Posey, now the face of the franchise. What would you say? No nonsense kind of a guy?
Yeah, right? He's pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. I think he sees a lot of himself in Matt Chapman.
I would agree.
And that's why he made that a priority towards the tail end of last year, re-signing this guy and making sure this is going to be the leader of this franchise. No, is he going to be, you know, he's going to give you the sound bites that you want? Is he going to have the, you know, is he going to be quirky like the Giants of old? No, he's not going to be like that. He's going to be like Buster, you know, which is okay, which is what you need.
You know who he reminds me of?
Ooh.
I'm talking about metaphorically.
Please.
He coming to the Giants at that time and kind of like legitimizing them and then obviously being a start of the nucleus reminds me a lot of the David Lee acquisition by the Warriors.
Interesting.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.